Log Talk Radio.
Welcome. You're tuned into Life is a Sacred Journey. Every week, we bring a new perspective to aging and caregiving. Here is your host, Michelle Pohl.
Can you hear me,
Rod?
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of you out in the virtual neighborhood of Life is a Sacred Journey. My name is Michelle Pope, and I am your host on this wonderful journey, this wonderful 30 to sometimes hour conversation with incredible people throughout the world that are doing incredible things as we live out our sacred lives. And, you know, I am always so happy to have somebody come back that I know and that I've been following and all of that. And Roz is one of them. I'm going to read her bio to you in a few minutes, but I want to share something with you. This is a book. Roz will love this too. It's a book that you can put notes in, and it's a children's book that you can put notes in. Dr. Seuss is one of my favorite authors. I learned many, many years ago that Roz and I would have learned how to read from the Dr. Seuss series, but the United States government felt that Dr. Seuss was too psychedelic, and they chose Dick and Jane. I'm here to tell you, I would have preferred Dr.
Seuss
and not Dick and Jane and Sally and Spot. I'm just saying. Okay, because they lived in a neighborhood that we can tell today, if we had had Dr. Seuss, maybe the stuff that we've been experiencing in this last 15, 16 months around racism and all of that, we wouldn't though, because Dr. Seuss didn't give people color. All right. So
all right.
Last week I talked about joy. I talked about joy. And this I found at Target. It says, it's fun to have fun, but you have to know how.
Ooh, I like that.
Okay? That's
okay.
A cat in the hat saying it's fun. It is fun to have fun, but you have to know how. So get out your Dr. Seuss book. Get out the cat in the hat. You can get it online now. I have the book because I had kids. And read it, because the cat in the hat is an incredible story. Yes, about misbehaving and not doing what you're told to do. But at the end of the day, fun was had by all. And they didn't do it by going out and buying a whole bunch of junk. And they didn't do it by just having to plan it all, because it was unplanned. Remember, Mother said, sit in that chair and don't open the door when she is. Okay. So, lesson from Dr. Seuss today, and it is fun to have fun, but you have to know how, and we have to let go. Roz is teaching me that. I'm watching her, and she's watching me, and we're praying for each other and lifting
yes.
each other up in our ministries and what we're doing in our lives. But at the end of the day, I can see the fun in my sister's face when they do those spotlights when she's doing her public speaking. I hope you see that in my face when I'm doing my public speaking. And I'm not saying being hilarious and being a comedian. No, what I'm saying, that little sparkle of joy that you have when you're doing something that you were created to do. So I pray for all of you that you find that little spark, that little joy, that little fun, that little Dr. Seuss fun that makes your life more bearable to live in the times of grief and pain, and will also help you to connect with some of the most beautiful people. Because when you're happy, guess what you attract? You have no choice. That's why Roz is in my life. She attracted me and I attracted her. So let me tell you about Rosalind Marshall Jones for a few minutes. And I know many of you know her. She was with us this time almost a year exactly. Yeah. We met and we were talking about COVID and how to care for people in the home. And we were just meeting, but we connected and I followed you ever since. And congratulations on everything that you're doing. And we'll talk about that. She's making me do some things, but we'll talk about that. But Rosalind Marshall Jones is a compassionate, innovative healthcare industry leader. Rosalind's goal is to make a healthy difference in the lives of men, women, and children. Through her extensive medical experience, she realized an urgent need for quality healthcare in her area. And in 2009, she put her expertise to work. She opened Jacksonville's Best Caregivers to provide short and long-term in-home health care to Northeast Florida. Rosalind's experience, of course, doesn't stop there. And for more than 15 years, Rosalind has developed and facilitated training and built a strong community and network worldwide. And I'm so happy that Life is a Sacred Journey, Michelle Pope, and Alzheimer's Services of the East Bay is a part of that network. She also serves as a crossroads advocate for those who need quality health care, crisis counseling, and health care intervention. Rosalind is a strong community advocate. That is, she's living out her purpose. And then the other stuff is a part of that purpose, and that's the interconnection with her faith. She has served the Jacksonville Community Council as co-chair and facilitator of citizens groups addressing the arts in Jacksonville. She served as a crisis counselor for Ground Zero during 9/11 in the terrorist attacks we know that has changed our lives forever. Mm-hmm. And she serves as a United Way loaned executive. I'm going to ask her to explain that because I don't know what that means. And okay. Rosalind is also a licensed minister and chaplain under the American Chaplain Association. That's something that she and I have in common as well. And Rosalind has trained with master storyteller Andy Henriquez, wow, which helped her to excel as a motivational coach and speaker. And I am happy to be able to say that she is a colleague, she is a peer, she is a friend, she is a sister on the journey of this life where we really care and we are our brother's keeper. So welcome, Sister Rosalind Jones, Roz Jones, to this space, to this moment. I am so excited that you're here. It's like having a sister that went away on a trip and now you're back. It's good to see you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We have gone through this year. We've made it.
Yeah.
We are survivors. And, you know, every day that we get up, you know, people, oh, I'm tired. I'm saying, honey, I get up and say thank you. I'm not going to allow that negative vibration, that negative energy to enter into this house
right.
and this house. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. Yeah. So, you know, part of the stuff we're going to talk about today is, you know, the mental piece of COVID.
Yes. People
are like, well, Robin, how did you do it? I had to set intentions from the get-go that I have to put things in place for me to make it. And I don't think I didn't have hard days.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and sit with a bed of roses and I twinkle through the tulips. No.
Right. Right.
I didn't. So I want to say to those who made it, I congratulate you. For those who are still struggling,
yeah.
there's hope.
Yeah.
And there's help.
Yeah. Let's start there, Rosalind. Yeah. Let's start there because I think this is very important. In the state of California, we are preparing to open back up on June 15th. I think I have feelings about that, but at the end of the day, that's what's happening. And but there are still, I think 2% or something, 2 to 7% of the population that still is not vaccinated. I've been trying to share with people about this herd thing. And then, you know, Dr. Pearl, who, you know, and I know you saw that has said, no, it's still 1 in 9. It needs to be 1 in 5 or 3 for it really to, you know, and you know this as a clinician. Mental health for those of us that are still on the fence, like we got vaccinated, but we know that COVID still can be passed, right? That we can still pass it.
Exactly.
How do we live with this emotional stress of, okay, they're saying we can take off our mask now, and people are looking at us because now we're saying, no, we're really not ready. We really want to keep our mask on a little while longer. And that tension now that is creating stress, anger, and separation in communities of color and brown and black people, but also in the nationwide community. So can you speak to that and what your feelings and what you're seeing? I know it's happening everywhere. It's not just here.
In the facilities where we are providers in a home health and in an assisted living independent facility, the residents have the option of not wearing a mask or wearing a mask. They gave them that option now because most of them have been vaccinated.
Okay.
You know, so on and so forth. So they gave them the option to wear it or not to wear it. However, those people who come in, like myself, the vendors and the employees of the facility, they're asking us to still wear a mask. I have a problem with that.
Okay.
I have a problem with that because we are coming in and out, in and out.
Yes.
So it's to protect the people who are there, who live there. So really, you know, their atmosphere, their ecosystem is tainted when we come in.
Okay. That's a great way of saying it. The ecosystem, it gets tainted because we're going in and out as well as going in and out of other places,
Right. So even though I come home in between clients, and I've been doing this for a year, and take a shower, or I take my clothes with me and take a shower at my next location, I still, when I get out now, I wear a glove when I go to the gas station to pump. I'm sorry. And for everybody, it's probably going to be an individual thing when you get comfortable. Right now, as a provider, I'm not comfortable.
Right.
I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's probably going to take me another 6 months before I may not wear a mask.
Okay.
That's me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because I'm around a high-risk population.
That's exactly it. Say that again, Roz, because I keep telling you.
A high-risk population.
Yeah.
People who are over, who are almost 100, high blood pressure, diabetes, Alzheimer's, dementia, COPD, cancer. I can keep going on and on. And the fact that they're old. I'm just talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just talking. So to protect them from me and me from them, I got the vaccination.
Right.
I did find I had no, you know, some people say, you know, eyes was watering, it was stiff.
Yeah.
And I said, yo, so weenie whiny, just a little temporary inconvenience to save a life.
Right. Yeah.
I took the Pfizer. I took the two shot.
Oh, you did the two. Okay. Okay.
I got my card and everything. But I'm saying that is to say, if you are taking care of someone that has one of these diseases or comorbidities or whatever, overweight, whatever the case may be, take that extra time to wear the mask.
Mm.
Still continue to wipe down, to clean, to Lysol everything. I have a bag in my truck. Lysol, Clorox, baby wipes, gloves, spray.
Yep.
Like I said, when you can't do it all, give me a call. And if you happen to get in my truck, in each one of the doors, I have hand sanitizer, a mask, and I have the pads, like the bed truck.
Oh, yeah.
I sit in my truck, bringing me no cooties.
And I love that you drive a truck.
Going crazy.
I want a truck. I want a truck. So I love that you drive a truck. I can't wait to come to Jacksonville.
But the whole thing is everybody like, oh, well, you're so overprotected.
No.
But again.
No.
Look who I serve.
Yeah.
It's my responsibility.
Yeah.
I always said I want to help the caregiver relieve the stress, overwhelm, and providing safety and security.
Yeah.
It's an oath that we take. I have to make sure that you people are safe.
Yes, yes, yes.
Come on now.
Yes, yes. So how are you having this conversation also with the faith-based community? Because I know this is another area where I know I'm in conflict with my denomination and some of the things that we're getting ready to do and have been doing as far as letting people back into spaces close. Because again, our church populations are everybody that you described. You know, you and I could have that other conversation.
Oh,
we act as if we have young people populating the churches. And while we do have young people, the majority of individuals attending every denomination across the world are older people. So if you're going to put them all back together, you just heard what Rosalind said, and I really believe this. Please listen. And you heard Dr. Pearl a couple of weeks ago. It's mm-hmm. not going to hurt us to wear a mask in those settings. One, Roz will tell you, Roz, has the flu almost this last year, how many people had the flu compared to previous years because of us wearing masks?
Almost zero.
How many people had colds because of us wearing a mask?
Almost zero.
So the reality is, my friend, the COVID the virus created a wearing a mask, but it also prevented us during our winter seasons or fall to winter to early spring when we get the sickest and our aged die. In my program, pneumonia from November through January, I can guarantee you that many of my clients will get pneumonia and some will live, but many do not.
Will die. Between the months of, for us here, September and January, beginning
okay.
of February.
Okay.
You know, I hate to say this. I hate to see September come around. I do.
Yeah.
I do. I just start mentally, okay, Lord, let me get myself together.
Get prepared.
You know, because people are not taking care of themselves. Yes, we all have to go. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Some things we can avoid.
Yes. Yes.
And so I don't understand the mentality. This is me talking. I'm just going to talk.
Well, this is wrong. You and I, and we're sharing. This is, okay, so this is my disclaimer for everybody, and then I won't have to say it again because Sister Roz reminded me. When you come to Life is a Sacred Journey, you get on a choo-choo train where we're sharing myself as the hostess and the people that I invite into our virtual living room. We're having a conversation, but we're giving you a little snapshot of what we're talking about. And as the old folks used to say, eat the meat and throw away the bones. Whatever works for you, works for you. We're not telling you that we're better than you. We're not telling you that you should do what we do. But we are hopefully examples of truth and how we're living out our sacred journeys, and we're just sharing with you. So I hope that helps anybody who's already getting upset or angry because you disagree. You have every right. But what you need to know is that we're coming from our authentic self, and we're trying to share because we really do care about what happens to our humanity around us. And both of us have taken an oath that we are our brother's keeper. And so it's okay that you disagree. We love you anyway. And you can still get on the Life is a Sacred Journey train, because by the time we make that next station, you will be a convert. That's all I'm going to say.
And let me say this. All the speakers that Michelle has on here, if it hurts, that means you may need to change. I'm just calling a pig fork and elephant heavy. If something pricks you, mm-hmm. if something pricks you like that, then I need to look at my personal self.
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to change?
Yep.
Or what do I need to implement? And a lot of us don't want to wear a mask because you don't want to be accountable for what could happen either if you, you know, you're going to be accountable for if you don't wear a mask. You could be accountable, it could be slow singing and chicken bringing, or you can choose life. But God gives all of us free will. But there's two things Michelle and I are not going to do. We're not going to argue back and forth for the food. We don't go back and forth.
No, because we love everybody. And my new thing on my mirror is I love humanity. It's people sometimes I have a problem with. Because I love humanity. You put me out there in the world and I'm a happy camper. I love people. But one-on-one sometimes I find that anger and the implicit stuff that we live with. And I've been down that journey. That's the other thing. I've been down that journey in my youth. And it was a waste of time. And I don't regret it because I believe in forgiveness and I move on. But at the end of the day, I refuse to live these wonderful winter season of my life living in all that muck and mire of all that yucky stuff because it's too heavy to carry, one. And I have sciatic, so I can't carry any of that stuff. And the joy, this is what I want you to talk about now because I am so thankful that you're here, Roz. You have written a book. Look at you. Tell us about your book.
The book is called, I can put my hand on the mic, I'm sorry. The book is called Lifted.
Lifted?
And Lifted, L-I-F-T-E-D.
Okay.
And it's, I'm almost done writing it. I've gotten through most of the chapters.
Okay.
And it will launch in September. And it's called Lifted. It's helping to prepare your loved ones for the aging process and also preparing their estate.
Oh, okay, okay.
And so the purpose of this is just like anything else, we have to prepare. Just like COVID, we had to prepare. We prepare more for, and I say this all the time when I'm on podcast, we prepare for graduations, birthdays, weddings, vacation, our retirement, buy a house, buy a car, and we even prepare for divorce. Better than we prepare for when we're going to get older. Many of us don't have it. And because of COVID, many of us are going to die alone because the person that we thought was going to take care of us is not here anymore.
Right. Yes. Yes.
So as we talk about the COVID mental health, look at what you lost. Okay. What's the lessons learned from COVID? Okay, I survived it. I took all of this. But what actions do I need to take in the future? So if something happens like COVID or whatever could happen, you could get sick in a hospital. Who is going to be there for you when you can't speak for yourself?
Yes, yes.
Take that mental stress off of your family so they don't have to deal with this. During COVID, I told the Lord, I said, I know you have me in this for a reason, but you and I need to talk.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall at that conversation.
I had to send him an email. I said, look, check it out. look at him. If I get one more call and I'm talking about my loved one is dying, what do I do? What do I do? And I said, honey, it's too late.
Yeah.
I had one girl call me. She said, oh, hospice is coming in and mama can't walk and mama can't talk. You gotta get everything straight. I said, it's too late. Yeah. If she can't talk, she can't walk, she can't sign documentation, but her cognitive right now, and so no bank, nobody is going to let you just come in and talk about put my name on the bank account. No. They're not going to do that. Because they don't want the person to come in. Nobody's going to do that. I said, well, what if we get the attorney to come to the house? I said, they will be violating
the patient's
right. Their license could be revoked, not suspended.
Yep.
Revoked.
Yeah.
You could be barred.
Yeah.
For doing something, taking advantage of somebody like that.
That's right. That's right.
So what I'm saying is, while you have the time, you know, the mental health piece is have the conversation. You know, we don't have to do the whole estate planning, but let's just talk about the bank account.
Yeah.
Making sure that you have, you know, someone on the bank account. When once I ask anybody at the end of the day, when this conversation is over, go to the bank and make sure at the time of death that you have someone on the beneficiary card. Because if there's no beneficiary on there, the money automatically goes to probate. It sits in probate, so the judge can decide. Only thing that they'll pay for will be the funeral expenses and anything like power and electricity at the house. Okay. That will be taken care of.
Okay.
But anything outside of that, it's on lockdown. The money's on lockdown. So why not have a will, all your documentation in place?
Yeah.
So if something does happen, it's there. So as we talk about the mental piece, let's be mentally physical.
Yeah.
Let's be mentally physical. Okay,
yeah.
Here's my birth certificate. Here's my life insurance policy. Here's all of this. Because my mother went through this. And the mental stuff that I saw she went to and the time that she wasted because my grandmother didn't have documentation in order.
Yeah.
It stressed my mother. It stresses you.
Yeah.
You have to keep going back to court and you don't have to.
Yep. And that happened to me and my family as well when my dad passed. Mm-hmm. And he had a will, but it was written in, you know, it wasn't written the way. That's the other thing, Roz, I know that you talk about is that as your life changes, change your documentation. Like, you know, I had a will when the kids were little as a single mom after
right.
I got divorced. But that will has changed now that, and I'm getting ready to change it again because they're now both adults. And so that changes it doesn't mean that it's changing in big ways like what I'm doing, but the wording of it doesn't fit anymore. And there's nobody to have to take care. Like I had to leave them to somebody in my will before. Now they're grown. I'm not leaving them to anybody. I'm going to leave them. So it's also important as you change and things change in your family structure, go back and look. And like Roz is saying, if you have it all together, it's easy to look at and therefore easy to change because things change in your heart and you mean to do certain things and then you don't write it down. And then the other person that you told you were going to do it, they're left without a handbasket. I can't say the other word, but without a handbasket because there's nothing they can do. And I've been personally, and I know my dad did not have that intention, but he didn't have time because he got sick and nonverbal for 5 or 6 years before he passed away. And so there you go. And again, Roz is talking about it. You create more grief. You create more stress. You create mental health challenges for yourself that parachute in on top of loss, and then you're a mess. You're a mess because you have the loss of the loved one, and now you've got all this swirling other mental health stuff that's happening because of the relationship or something that didn't happen or something that wasn't said, and that's caregiver stress. And then you're no longer caregiving, right, Roz? And then what happens to the caregiver who's been caregiving for so long and they're no longer caregiving? And talk to us about that.
COVID, the mental piece for COVID, should teach us how to have a plan A, B, C, D, X, Y, and Z. Seriously.
Yeah.
And this is what I tell people with mental, particularly for COVID. Get a copy of your birth certificate and your children's birth certificate. Give a copy of your birth certificate to your son and your daughter. Then your son and your daughter should have each one of their birth certificates. The first thing the court is going to ask for is a proof of heirship. How do I know that's your mama?
Mm.
That's the first thing. Then they're going to say, okay, was she married? Where's the divorce decree? They need a copy of the divorce decree so that we know that there's no other people coming in to try to get your state. Okay? I'm just talking. The whole thing is that I want you all to understand, take this little block of, okay, everything's going to be all right, it's going to take care of itself when I die.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not going to take care of itself. So you guys have to realize that you got to have the paperwork. Sit down and have a conversation. Stop having this false pretense that, okay, it's going to take care of itself. COVID should have shifted us mentally to get documentation in place, to get our business in place, to get everything straight. The mental health piece is conversation. The mental health piece is if you haven't gotten over COVID, ask for help. Talk to somebody. And that, well, it's not like it would have just gone in this house, stay in this house. Y'all better stop that. Y'all going to die behind that foolery. I'm just saying.
But you're right. You're right. You're right.
You're going to be dead. You're going to be dead because, I don't want to do a power of attorney because of what? Because of what? Because of what?
Or a living will, or buy your tree or your plot, or prepare for how you want to and pay for that so people don't have to worry. You can do it on an installment plan. All my funeral stuff is being done on an installment plan right now. But at the end of the day, by the time it happens, we got things in order. The children will not have to. That's what Roz is talking about. They will not have the mental health stress of running around trying to figure out what mommy wanted. It's clear. It's written. It's paid for. Just go do it. That's it.
COVID should have taught us about conversations. COVID should have taught us about sitting down and talking. We had all that time to be together. Everybody should have a plan now. Everybody. There's no excuse. There's no excuse because we were on lockdown. And in most cases, I know for at least from April, for at least 2 or 3 weeks in April, we were on lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything should have been in order.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
But it's not too late.
No.
And I want people to understand that. I don't care what you're going through mentally. It's not too late to ask for help. Yeah. I don't care what documentation you need. It's not too late to ask and to get it in order. Mm-hmm. Look at those insurance policies.
Yeah.
Make sure that there's a beneficiary on the insurance policy. If you had your grandmama on the insurance policy, she's dead. Take off.
Mm-hmm.
Put somebody else on there.
Mm-hmm.
And with these advanced directors, get someone on that advanced director that can make a decision. And we don't need, you know, a congressional hearing to decide whether or not we're going to pull the plug.
Right. Thank you. Speak about that, Roz. Please speak about that, because I think that is very important that families talk about that. And I understand, you know, because I have a family now that is fighting that. Fighting that. So let's talk about that, because I think that's a touchy topic for many, many people. They feel like they're killing their individual or, you know, whatever. And I'm not demeaning that, but the person is the one wishes who we should be trying to make sure happen. If that person, like I have on mine, no life support, if no heroic measures, if the brain is gone and all of that, then just let me do whatever I'm going to do. And so that's my personal choice. But you work in long-term care as I do. You know, what's the benefit of making that plan yourself and not leaving that to family to make the decision?
The benefit is that some people aren't old enough to remember Terry Schiavo here in Florida, where her husband and parents fought for over 10 years.
Oh, my.
She was on life support. And the judge finally came in and made a decision, let this woman go. So the husband and the parents were fighting, but the husband should have had the last say so because he was married to her. But they went to court all because she was a young woman.
Yeah.
All because of this accident that happened that left her where she wasn't going to come back.
Yeah.
Now, Let me say this. God works miracles. I don't refute that.
No, not ever.
But after a certain point, if the doctors say, you know, this, and you say, well, give me another week, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you need 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
okay? But after a certain point,
mm-hmm.
you got to make that decision.
Yeah.
Because I know, I don't want nobody that has to be worrying about who is cleaning Roz. Does she have head sores? Are they taking care of her properly? Are they feeding her? Are they keeping her clean?
Yes.
Are they being mean to her because she can't speak back?
That's
because
right.
See, if I come in and see one of my people with a bruise, a bed sore,
yep.
or looking hungry, I'm going to jail.
Yep.
I'm just being for real. Go on, call the bail bondsman. I'm going to jail.
I'll put a little in the kitty if you need help.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
People to be realistic.
Yes, be realistic.
I want people to be realistic. Like, this is why I said the mental piece for this, are you holding on for you?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because you got some things that maybe, you know, you holding on to for no reason.
Or you have to work through.
This person, this person can't talk to you, can't say nothing, and it's not right to the person who's suffering, and it's not person fair to the person who's living.
That's right.
At the end of the day.
Well, Sandy,
I'm sorry. People may not want to hear this.
No.
It is what it is. You know, if you're calling a pitchfork and an elephant heavy.
No, you didn't go there. Yes, you did. I love you, Roz. I love that. I'm going to write that down.
You know, Michelle, sometimes we do things selfishly.
You know, we do.
It benefits us only and nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
What does it benefit me to run up a hospital bill and this person is not going to come back? What does it do to me and I have to go back and forth?
Yeah.
To this hospital or wherever this person is.
Yes. Yeah.
How does this, you know, at the end of the day, what does it benefit that person to be in that position?
Well, we talk about quality of life. You do. I mean, and what is that quality of life? You know, if a person can have quality of life, then we do everything we can.
Absolutely.
To ensure that that individual is engaged and a part of the community. But if the quality of that individual's life is diminishing day by day by day, we say continue to do what the life-saving measures that are normal life-saving measures, meaning nutrition and then not putting them on ventilators and things of that nature that will just keep pumping air in when in fact, just letting the natural process. And I'm going to tell you, and Roz can tell you this, if you have the opportunity to be with someone when they die naturally in their home or wherever it may be, it is a beautiful,
yes, it is.
Amazing
partnership. Transition.
Yes. It really is. It is.
It probably sounds morbid that we're talking about it, but when it happens, I always tell people, open the windows and open the door.
Yes.
Because, you know, and then you can see the spirit just moving from the feet all, coming all the way up to the top of the head. And when I tell you it's the most beautiful, peaceful thing, it's like time stands still.
It does stand still.
I know it sounds morbid, but the more I see it, the more I'm ready for my own personal life. The more I see it, I'm ready.
And you know, that's not morbid. This is the thing. And then Sandy Blazer has a question for me to ask you. It's not morbid. It is a part of the cycle of life. It is, if you look at, I was telling somebody that, you know, you already all know this, but I love trees. I was actually telling you guys this, and that the circles in the, when you cut a tree down because of disease, the circles of the centuries of the life of that tree show you everything that has occurred to that tree. But when it gives up its life from that space, many times when they cut that tree down, around the roots and the trunk of the tree, new trees begin to grow. And that is the same as the humanity. We cannot take
legacy.
Up.
It's a legacy. The tree is leaving a legacy. Get out of here.
I can't take up this space forever. I can't. And I don't want to. 100, 102, 107, like my sister from Tulsa, Oklahoma, I'll take it. Okay.
Yeah, you know, I remember.
Oh, my God, she was amazing.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, my friends, if we live in fear, then we don't live in the now. If we live in fear, we can't see the joy of like what's happening between Roz and I. I did not know Roz a year ago. But now she's a part of the essence of my life and who I am. I can't wait to physically meet her. But if I never get to physically meet her, it doesn't diminish who she is in my life at all. We've got to stop living in these preconceived moments of existence that are not real. And then we miss out on the real. Because we're waiting. We're constantly waiting for something to happen. And the happening is now. That breath that you just took is now. It's not in the moments to come. And as I get older, oh my gosh, the world is just really opening up for me. And I'm seeing things that I wish I had seen. I'm sharing it with as many young people as I can. So you don't waste your 30s and 40s running around here searching for something that you think you have to achieve when it's already in you. It's already in you. Roz's book was in her. She just needed to have the experiences along the way so that they would come alive in storytelling and on the page. But the book was in her the moment she was born. My book is in me the moment I was born. It's just taken me longer to pin it to paper. Your story, your book is in you. And even if you're having mental health, because Roz, that's become an ugly term. People are afraid to go to counselors. People are afraid to have conversations that reveal their true hearts. Speak to that, because I know brown and black people traditionally also do not want to go to counselors. We're afraid to share. We go, we're going to carry that burden. We're going to carry that burden until we crack and die. So help us to understand how important it is to take care of our mental health.
Your mental health is connected to your heart. And if you don't take care of this part, you know, they say, you know, was ever so man, is he thinking so he is? Whatever you're thinking about yourself, whatever you think that you need to ask for it. Then you have to be careful of what you are feeding. That's a part of your mental health. what you're looking at, what you're smelling, what you eat. All that's up here. You know, they always say, why does the enemy attack the head? Because if I can get into your mind, I can defeat you. I plan on walking in victory. I want everybody to walk in victory. But it's your choice to determine who's in your circle. I cut off a lot of people, honey, and could care less. You can go all about your business. I'm just talking. I have a girlfriend. She don't want to move no further. She don't want to do nothing else. She happy as a hog where she is. And I'm going to respect your wishes. However, my grandmother said, if you hang around a duck, you're going to be a duck. So that means I have to limit my conversation with you because I don't want to pick up your bad habits. Same thing with mental health. You got to be careful who's around you, who's talking to you, what you're listening to. You can help part of the healing process by making some choices yourself.
Yes. Yes.
But I'm going to say this. If you need help or you need some instructions or some guidance with that piece, you got the EAP programs. You got all these different things that are coming up now that you can go out here and ask for help. And you know what? Don't nobody have to know about it, but you and the psychologist.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you put it on Facebook, it won't nobody know. Won't nobody know. But I don't want anybody to feel embarrassed. I ask for help all the time.
Me too.
Trust me.
Me too. And I get it. That's the other thing. I get the help because I reach out. I mean, there was a time. You know, I'm the traditional seedling, black woman seedling, don't tell nobody anything, live your life strong, don't show anybody any weakness, never ask anybody for anything, only depend on your own reserve. I am that 100%. But in my life, I have learned, like you said, keep those really great friends, those really great people around you, spiritual support, sages, everybody, and you share with them because they will not use it against you. That's always the biggest fear that we have as human beings, that if I'm vulnerable to you, Roz, you might get mad at me and then just blow me all up to smithereens. But that comes from choice, right? Choice of friends and over time building trust and creating safe spaces when you're a friend. And so maybe that's because we need to go into relationships differently.
We do. We need to go in relationships like we go into anything else. You know, look and see if this is going to improve the quality of my life.
Yeah.
Are they in there just for a short term? You know, I just need for you to help me cut my grass and I want you to cut. Okay?
Yep.
And then I also, too, want us to realize, too, with mental health, Michelle and I are probably, you know, posting this era where it says, all I knew was about was sacrifice and not self-care.
Right.
I never saw my grandmother go and get a pedicure. I told somebody else that. I never saw my mama go get a pedicure. I never saw my mama get a facial.
I didn't. Oh, my gosh, Rod, no.
You know, Michelle?
No, I know she did not because she was too busy taking care of us and everybody else.
And all I saw her was sacrifice and never just, I only realized about self-care in the last about 10 years when the word came up. What is self-care?
Oh my God.
My grandmother ate last.
The
woman did everything last. She dressed the kids first for church. We dress the kids first to get ready to go to work or to come in. We comb those children's hair first and we combed ours last. We washed their clothes first. We washed ours last.
Yep.
We lay away their clothes for school. We got ours last or we didn't get any. Now, if I'm just
we were the last ones to get in the car because we had to make sure everybody else had their lunch and everything was locked down so we could come back to a house that hadn't burnt down. So, yeah. Oh, this is profound. We need to talk. This is a separate conversation, but yes. And if almost 100%, it's, what is it now? 80, 92% of all caregivers are women. Whether they are the daughter, daughter-in-law, mother, grandmothers are taking care of children. That was something that was growing right before the pandemic. I have no idea where that is now. I'll have to do some research on that.
Right,
But Roz, wow, you just opened up. You see me having a hot flash because I got emotional because my mother she sat at the table on Sunday. But never until the whole table was set And we were all like looking, she'd look around and look at the scene, and the food was passed from her so that she was the last one to get it back to put it on her plate.
And when they prayed, after they prayed, they fed the children first.
Yep.
Or the husband, higher up the hierarchy went. And she was the last to sit at the table.
Yep. So if you're a caregiver, that is your life. And that is a stressful life. That is a life that creates a lot of challenges for one, guilt, anger. You know, I know Roz talked about the last time we talked a little bit about caregiver anger, and that
mm-hmm.
comes up for caregivers, and that you feel guilty after you're angry. Roz said, you know, you have to feel that emotion and live it and feel it and have a place to land it. Or then what happens is the flip side is you become an abusive caregiver, whether it be verbally, physically, or just check it out.
And that's because we're not taking care of ourselves. That's when you become bitter and guilty.
Yeah. Yeah.
I go and get my feet done now every 2 weeks. I'm gonna get this stuff off of my foot. I will not look like a horse in the Kentucky Derby.
You know, I'm gonna tell you, I know you're watching, Sandy, and I always pick on you because you're my dearest friend. But I've learned that from that dear woman. I'm going to do better. Thank you, Roz, for reminding me to take care of myself, because that's what I've been a mom. My daughter just graduated last Saturday, and I have intermittently done it, but never routinely done it. Like, I have to wait till I'm banged up against the wall. Then it's like, oh, I haven't had a massage. Go get some massage.
We can change that right now. I set aside $150 a week to take care of me.
What? Say it again.
$150 a week is set aside. That's after I pay myself.
Right.
$150 I get to use any way I want. Get some fresh weed, get my pedicure, whatever I need.
I'm going to say her full name, Rosalind Marshall Jones. Came into my life a year ago, came into your life a year ago. Some of you are new to Life is a Sacred Journey. You're meeting her for the first time. Many of you who are not, this is your second time meeting Roz. What Roz is saying today and what she's saying in her public speaking, in her book that's coming out in September called Lifted, is take care of yourself. And self means mind, body, and spirit. The whole thing, that's the self that we take into the world. And I love all these things that Roz has said, because have a conversation, she said, talk to somebody, find a space where you can feel so good that you can share with this person. Or if there's nobody that you can share with, and you know where I'm going to go with this, some of you, and to those who I offend when I go here, Just turn your sound down for a minute.
It'll be all right. Go ahead. It's your show.
For those of you who know that there is a creator,
mm-hmm.
take it there. Plant it there. Go to a quiet place. Create a quiet space for you, wherever that may be. For me, sometimes it's just in the car. And I'm talking away, and I know the people to the left and the right think I'm talking to somebody on my Bluetooth, and I am not. I'm talking to the universal power, the creator God that I believe in. And that helps me. It
mm-hmm.
may not do a doggone thing for you. Just lifting it up as a possibility, as a place you might want to explore and go. And it may be there. And I'm not talking about denominational faith at the moment, my friend. That's a totally different gig. Because everybody thinks when you're talking about God and Jesus and all that you're talking about denominational faith, which is man taking all that and making it fit, whatever. Not putting it down. I belong to a denomination. But the love that you get when you believe, when I love when Ross does this. I learned that from you the last time. I do that now. When you do this, when you go high, go up. There's a peace that beyond understanding that I can't even bring words to get you to understand. And I'm not going to beat you over the head with it. I'm just telling you, take a chance. Take a moment. Take a second. Look up at that moon. Look up at that sun.
Mm-hmm.
Look up at those stars. And just say what's on your heart. And you'll feel better. I guarantee you. Because you will have added something to your personal ecosystem, and it's called self-care,
peace.
Love of self, and as Roz said, peace. Peace. That's it. And then you'll get to have relationships with people like Roz.
Roz, Roz.
You're not crazy. You are a joy, Roz. You are a joy because you see the joy in yourself. You share your joy with the rest of the world. You've shared more than joy with us today. You've shared your wisdom and your story, your life experience. You got to come back. We're going to put you on the schedule because when your book comes out in September, I'm getting a copy, and then we're going to talk about that book. And then I have to have Roz come back, and we are going to have a wonderful conversation, and maybe we'll get my sister Carolyn Brent, who's down there in Florida, to join us as well. And we're going to talk about this woman thing that Roz dumped on me and us that she gave us, because that's a profound conversation. Because I was remembering that commercial. I know you remember the commercial. Many of you remember the – I think it's a Fabergé I can't remember, but the woman has the baby on her
hip,
and she's got the man suit on, but it's a skirt, and the briefcase in her hand.
Right up in the pen, and never let you forget that you're the man, and I'm a woman, whatever it was.
And that was the setup for my generation and every generation going forward. And now we've moved to a generation of young women that think the only thing that is important, even with their degrees and bright minds and intelligence, is their bodies.
Mm.
And they're going body first into relationships and into situations that they are surprised when somebody says to them, blah, 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 blah. But we taught them that. When we let that little baby girl jerk in front of us and twerk in front of us and say how cute she was, we created that.
Yes,
that's not cute.
It's not.
So we need to have Roz to come back, and we're going to have another conversation because today it was about mental health and caregivers. But Roz, you are a shining beacon of light in this universe. And
thank you
so much for being authentic. I knew she was coming.
I need to answer that question.
Yeah, please. Yeah, question from Sandy was, what about singing, and is it okay with people wear masks and not sing, or can they wear mask and sing? Because she was thinking about that.
You can sing and not wear a mask if each one of the people are 6 feet apart.
Okay.
Still practice the social distancing, because at my church.
You're good. Keep going, Roz.
The choir members are 6 feet apart. And then once they leave the stage, they put the mask back on.